What's up, everyone? Welcome back to another episode of Deeper Than Dough, the podcast where we get real about money, business, and what actually makes life fulfilling. Today, I've got Herman Dulce Jr. on the show. This guy went from being a social worker to helping entrepreneurs secure millions in business funding. We talk about how to build business credit, avoid the biggest financial traps, and how to unlock your financial freedom. Trust me, you're going to want to take notes on this one. Before we jump in, make sure to hit the like and subscribe button to not miss out on a single episode. Let's get into it. Hey everyone, welcome back to another episode of the Deeper Than Dough podcast. Today I'm super excited to have Herman Dulce on the show. Herman, welcome to the show.
Bennett, thank you so much for having me on the platform and trusting me to talk to your folks. It's an honor to be here.
Awesome. Well, I'm excited to dive in. Can we start with a minute or two of who you are, your background, and what you're doing?
Who am I? So Herman Dulce Jr., born in Brooklyn, New York, but Philly raised me. Go Birds, Super Bowl champions. I moved to Philly about 30 years ago. I'm 44. My birthday's next week. And I founded a company called Bella Sloan Enterprises. I'm named that after my firstborn daughter, Bella Sloan. And we'll get to that in a second. I went to Temple University. And I got my master's degree from Lincoln University. And short story, I'm going to keep it short, is I basically started this company when I went to on my baby moon with my wife. And I spent 2 weeks there. It was totally amazing. I got back home. I couldn't spend any time with my daughter because I used all of my vacation time to do it. And my brother said, hey, as long as you don't own your own thing, you'll never be free. And he's like, that credit thing that you do for free, you should start charging people for it. And I was like, well, no, like people really need this information. And he's like, no, they're going to pay somebody. They might as well pay you. And then I started that company, Bella Sloan Enterprises, started helping people with their credit, went on YouTube University to hone my skills. And I tripped into business funding. And that's what I'm more so known for because it has helped a lot of people get capital for themselves personally, but mostly for their business.
Awesome. I love the YouTube University. But you also mentioned your education, right? And you said you had a master's degree from Lincoln?
From Lincoln University, yes. I was a social worker and minored in being a therapist. So I was a child therapist for quite some time.
Mm-hmm. Oh, awesome. What's your recommendation and viewpoints on higher education, whether it's a bachelor's degree or a master's? Like, are you in favor? Are you using those things? Are you going to tell Bella to go to college? What's your viewpoint on that?
Bennett, I feel like we're going in for a hot take already.
No, I dropped out with the semester left. I'm already the hot take on. I'm not a huge fan.
Bennett, you're kidding me. A semester left?
I was doing pre-med, and then I also realized that I'm queasy when it comes to blood. I watched so many surgery videos and never got over it. And then I made more money as a door-to-door salesman in 5 months at 22 than I was ever going to make as a doctor. So I was like, it's time to drop out. But there is, I mean, especially depending on which profession and, you know, there's definitely a place for it. But my place has always been the business, sales, entrepreneurs. And I've gravitated more towards the experience and the YouTube University rather than the higher education.
Exactly. So we're kind of on the same page. So if you want to become a doctor, lawyer, engineer, I totally get it. Go down that path if it makes you happy. But higher education to me is an investment in something, right? So if I'm going to pay Temple University and Lincoln University $100,000 for me to be a social worker, where I will get paid $30,000 when I got out of school, and $50,000 was my highest I was ever paid as an executive director for a nonprofit, then the investment was bad. So you have to look at higher education as an investment. What am I giving them and what is my ROI? And that goes to how we both think. I was thinking as a business person, as an entrepreneur, that not all higher education is a good investment. If you have $50,000, $60,000, $80,000, there's a lot of mentors that you can go to that'll show you how to turn that into $250,000 in less than 3 years. And the point of higher education is what? To make money. So let me show you a faster and easier way to do that.
Yeah, I was holding my breath the whole time. I had my first company was a solar company. And you have to pay for leads, and half the marketers are bullshitters, you know, and you whatever. Mm-hmm. But you pay for leads, then you're paying sales teams, and you're paying all of your expenses.
It takes you, you know, a month or two to cultivate that lead, sell them, and it takes another month or two to install it till you actually get paid. So at any given time, you're out, you know, over six figures in ads. And the only thing I think that kept me sleeping at night was like, okay, if I lose it all, at least I've learned more with this 100 grand than if I would have spent it in college. Even though it was, you know, kind of fast forward. Now, luckily, I had an exit. Somebody wanted to buy it right at the right time. So that, nice. That was kind of lucky. But man, timing is everything in business. Let me shift back though to your daughter. How old is Bella? And talk to me about her and the inspiration of her being the name of your company.
So Bella is going, I have two beautiful daughters, Bella Sloan, and she's the same age as the company, going to be 8 years now. And I also have Olivia Monroe. And I wanted to, it's all about a legacy thing. At the end of the day, my father, not to bring down the tone of the podcast, my father passed away in September, right? And my father was a janitor and a property manager, and he didn't leave me anything. And that's okay, right? He wasn't financially literate. Right. Mm-hmm. Came from the island of Haiti. All he knew was come to America, land of the promise. You get a college education, you get a master's degree, you become a doctor. Those are the only options when you're Caribbean, because we're from Haiti. My family's from Haiti. Those are the only things he knew to do. So he didn't know what to leave me, or didn't have those options to leave me anything. So with me, I had a different mindset. I wanted to leave my child something. So leaving them a cash flowing business, leaving them some assets, and then understanding what life insurance is and leaving them money behind, I think is the best thing that I can do at this point.
Well, maybe we'll get into life insurance in a little right. bit. Life insurance Absolutely. Just saved my butt. I set up some index universal life insurance plans. I don't know. Before I even knew what it was, it's just like, yeah, I'll put a few $100, whatever. And then mm-hmm. right before I was selling my company, I was like scrambling for a little bit of cash. And right. I called up the life insurance, or I logged in, looked, I was like, wow, I could actually take some money out of here, called them up, and they explained how easy it was. This is, if you haven't heard of an index universal life insurance, maybe I'll let you explain it. But it was, one was through Allianz, one was through Transamerica. And I was like, hey, so how do I get access to the money? And they're like, well, you just tell me how much you want. And I was like, hey, well, how do I pay it back? And they're like, well, at the end of the year, it's 2.75%, but you have a 2% account credit, so you just have to pay 0.75% a year. And I was like, and how much of it could I do that with? And they're like, all of it. And it was like 65,000 or whatever. But I'm like, okay, give it all to me. You know, like 0.75 interest, save my butt.
Good name every time.
Tell me about education and how you gained your financial literacy. You talked about valuing education. It's, you know, we're not, I think we're very much on the same page. Like education is super, super important. It's just, it doesn't have to be in the formal setting per se. I took a financial literacy class in high school, which was really cool. I don't know how much I remembered it, but other than that, I haven't had any formal education. It's just been YouTube and kind of talking to people. How did you get your financial literacy down, and how do you recommend other people do it?
Same thing. I got my financial literacy from mentors. And I think that mentors are the cheat code. So I first started after I had a $55,000 a year job, right? And I realized something. I was like, this isn't it. I'm not going to make enough money. Got my first mentor to taught me some things about tech, how to become a software tester. I probably gave him like $5,000. 6 months later, my first job was 125 grand. Then I got hooked on mentorship. Yeah. I went everywhere for mentorship, whether it was credit, whether it was funding, whatever it was. I had mentor real estate. I paid these mentors for their time, went to their classes. And, you know, we can go down the rabbit hole if there are scammers out there, but finding the right mentor puts you under their wing and then take you to the absolute next level. So that was my cheat code in life.
Let's go there right now, if you don't mind. I mean, I agree with you. The mentors, coaches, therapists for me, like all of that it's so good to get an outside perspective and somebody to hold you accountable. Again, for me, it's a therapist emotionally, mentally, and then a business coach. And then, you know, I've done a lot of on the personal training side as well. But there are a lot of scammers out there. I was just talking about that. Yeah. There's been like three people in Utah, like big gurus, that have gone to jail. One of them got arrested by the FBI 2 months ago, you know, like for all of this fraud. How do you pick the right mentor?
I love this question. So I have a brand. It's called Audit Your Circle and Success Has Receipts, right? Two different brands. I put it all over my t-shirts. Number one, Success Has Receipts. The issue is that, unfortunately, a sucker is born every 5 minutes, right? And all I have to do in marketing is show my Rolex, show my Corvette, rent out a big house, and then you're sold, right? Yeah. I'm gonna get $1,002 out of you, right? Run some ads. It's gonna work over and over. I didn't want to do that. I don't post my Rolex. I don't post my Corvette. I don't do any of that for a couple of reasons. Number one, it brings the wrong customer to me. I don't want that customer. Number two, success has receipts. I like to show you the receipts of the success of my clients and my mentees, right? Because I really teach this thing. I'm very passionate about teaching it because financial literacy set me free. So if I'm showing you somebody getting funded on their business side for $25,000, $50,000, $100,000, and I showed you what they did with that money, invested in and bought a business, or we helped somebody fix their credit. When I'm doing those screenshots, they get better leads. I'm showing you receipts, and that's what you need to see when you're trying to get a mentor. How many people have they helped with the information that they're selling to you?
Yeah. And then would you recommend talking to people as well, like going down that far? I mean, I guess if it's a higher end coach for sure, but maybe if you're, you know, one of 1,000 people part of a business circle, they won't let you do that. But that's been very helpful to me, especially hiring. I've made a lot of bad hires. Mm-hmm. It's like you don't just call their references. You have to go look for mutual connections on, you know, social media, and then go call those people. And I found that to be very eye opening. Yeah. Like it's easy to see kind of a report, but also like speaking with someone that's been working in the system and getting that feedback is huge.
Absolutely, and that's where the audit your circle thing comes from. So talking to people that are within that circle, your circle, and taking people in and out as needed, because those are amazing reference points too. Absolutely.
Yeah. So you're focusing on helping people become financially literate, mm-hmm. with the end goal of setting up a business. And you also help them do that by establishing business credit. So there's funding up front and then ongoing funding. Is that all correct?
Absolutely.
So what type of person, is best, I guess, for you to help? Like at what stage are these, like they've had businesses before, but they're small businesses and they're ready to scale? Or is it more, this is first time business, I'm just getting into it, nobody's taught me anything, help me?
Right. So my avatar is very, very broad. So I get brand new people who find my information on Instagram and it's like, wait a minute, I can get 25, 30,000 in my business name. I don't have a business. I'm like, okay, well, you should have a business set up or an LLC structure set up anyway for a myriad of reasons that we won't get into today. But just having that is super important. Having a good credit score, having a good credit profile, showing you how to get startup capital for your business. And now that you have revenue from your business and you have taxes, now you can get more capital to continue to grow your business or teach people how to buy existing businesses. So the avatar is very wide. At minimum. Yeah, at minimum, showing you how to do a budget on an Excel spreadsheet and how to invest the difference and save the difference. That's the minimum people usually come to. They're getting from me when they walk out the door.
Okay, I love it. I love that you focus on business setup as well. I've heard from a startup class that I took, you know, it's like, what's the number one reason that businesses failed? And, you know, it's usually money. And I don't know if this was number two or this was the real number one, according to this guy, but it's partnerships. That's why big businesses are failing. You know, you do a 50-50 partner and it's all good and dandy until you don't have the same, you know, viewpoint on something. And there's no way to kind of break that. But there's also the legal structure. With Dirty Dough, when I bought the business, I had the bright idea, well, I'm part-time because I own another business. I'm going to bring in 5 part-time partners. Mm-hmm. So that's what I did. Yeah. It didn't work. And then I learned about vesting. We subjected all 6 of us to vesting. And I got all 5 of them out within the first year. And then I owned all of the business again. And then that set me up nicely to then go raise money from large individuals and have that equity give up. But I didn't know any of that till I took a startup course and like, oh, partnerships, vesting, things like that. Do you get into that or is it more on the legal side? Or tell me how you help out with business startups and what are the things that I should be looking for as a new business owner, if I'm doing correctly or incorrectly?
So what I teach is actually setting up the structure of the business properly. So say, for instance, to get funding, right? So say, for instance, we set up LLC, you're not making any money. You don't need an S Corp or C Corp yet. So having a proper business name, because the improper business name can actually keep you from getting as much capital. For example, if the name of my company was Bella Sloan Real Estate, right? Enterprises. Instead of getting a $25,000, $30,000 credit card on the business side, I'll probably get a $7,000 to $10,000 because the real estate industry, trucking industry, childcare, those are high risk industries. And whenever you open up a bank account, they connect a NICS code connected to your account, to your name of your business. And that determines how much money you're going to get later on. Having a true business address. I know where a lot of people have used their home address as their business address. You don't look like a real business if you're doing that. That takes away from the startup capital you can get. Having a real business phone number, real business address, real business website, not just having a TikTok and Instagram. No, like a real business landing page. So those are the structures that we help people set up. And then combined with their good credit and good credit profile, we help them get better business funding.
I love that. I mean, all of that is necessary for business, and it's a lot of times it's skipped over. You know, it's just like you just jump into it, right? And then you have to kind of go back and do all of the cleanup work.
Right.
But if you have the vision and you know what you're doing right from the beginning, it saves you a lot of that. So now we have it set up. We have an LLC set up correctly with the – tell me the acronym of the code again. N-I-C?
N-A-I-C-S code.
I hate those codes because I'm always looking up what I am depending on what application I'm trying to do, and I can never find the right fit. But I didn't. Yeah. I've also always told myself in the back of my mind, oh, it doesn't matter anyway. But it does, right? I've just never known why it mattered. But it's always the banks that are asking. Okay, so now it's all set up. Talk to me about the difference between business credit and personal credit. Because there's so many advantages to the business credit. Let's jump into that.
Absolutely. So the two major components that are super important and why you want to have business credit cards or business lines of credit, et cetera. Number one, on the business side, when a card is in your business name, Bella Sloan Enterprises, right? Number one, the limits are much higher than on personal. And number two, 99% of these cards don't report the debt to your personal credit profile. So on the personal credit profile, you get a stick of gum from the corner store, that's showing up on your credit report within 30 days. If you use more than 30% of the limit on any given credit card, maxing out more than 30%, your credit card score goes down. So when people are using their personal credit cards or personal funding for startup capital for their business, you're commingling your business and personal, which you should never do. And number two, you're maxing out your credit cards, and that's tanking your credit score. So if you want to go out and get more capital, you're not able to. So there was times when I was doing my first real estate project, I was probably $100,000 in debt, but it didn't show up on my credit report. I still had a 700 credit score at 0% interest. So I was able to flip the money in time before before any negative impact of 20, 30% hit me. So those are the major reasons startups should use business funding instead of their personal.
Amen and amen. I took out a home equity line of credit, like, oh, you know, it'll be good to take out. Let's say I had $200,000 in an open credit line between credit cards on the personal side. Then I got another $200,000 on this, you know, line of HELOC. And I'm like, okay, cool. Let me take out $100,000. Well, now I'm $100,000 out of my total limit of $400,000, assuming all my credit cards are at zero. I'm already at 25%. And I quickly realized I can't use this because, 30% is the number. On my credit karmas or whatever I'm tracking, I'm trying to stay between 10% because I'm like, I'm a few points away from that 850 score.
Right.
I didn't realize that. And then I moved over to business credit cards and you could go get, I don't know, I got three or four business credit cards through Chase, $20,000 to maybe $50,000 limits. I think all of them were zero interest for like 9 to 18 months. You could run them up all the way to $40,000.
Yep.
And let it sit there with zero interest for a year, and it never hurts your personal credit at all.
Correct.
So how do you build your business credit? Because you have to be purchasing from the right suppliers or whatever, the vendors that are reporting to the business credit agencies. Like, is it Dun & Bradstreet and then Experian Business? Are those the two big ones? Okay.
Yeah, Dun & Bradstreet, Experian Business Credit, SBFE is another one.
So how do you, I guess, get started on setting up business credit?
So there's two ways to do it. The no personal guarantee way and the personal guarantee way. A lot of startups in the beginning, they're going to personally guarantee it. So if they have a 680 credit score minimum, but everybody that's listening to your podcast, they're maximum level players. So we prefer for you to be at 700. The credit score is one thing. The credit profile is the second thing, because we have to start thinking how banks do. So they're going to look at your credit profile. You got 2-3 credit cards that are over 2-3 years old. The limits are $3,000, $4,000, $5,000, $10,000 limits, right? Because you have to remember, your personal credit report is your adult report card. You got a car note, you got a mortgage, you got some student loans on there. You just want a good mix on there, but primarily you want business, you want personal credit cards on there. The older, the higher the limits, the better. So that on the business side, when the banks look at you, they don't know who Bella Sloan Enterprises is. They know who Herman is. Herman has good credit. And since Bella Sloan doesn't have revenue yet, or Bella Sloan didn't have any business credit yet, Herman, you're co-signing. You're personally guaranteeing this debt that you're about to take on. Okay, great, Herman. We'll take a look at your credit. We'll give you $30,000, $50,000. We'll give your business $30,000, $50,000. And since you're the owner, founder of the business, you are able to use this capital. On the no personal guarantee business side, that's the next level up. If you have been building up your business credit score, like you have taken the time to do your personal, now that you have a credit score on the business side, which is called your Paydex score, which comes from Dun & Bradstreet, and some tax paperwork, you have bank statements, you have revenue, now you're in the world of no personal guarantee funding.
Okay, awesome. That is, I like how you separate it into stages as well. I mean, that was definitely how I had to do it. And I remember when I started building, I mean, this was years ago, but it was like, I had to buy something from a jewelry company, you know, like I had to buy a necklace for $100 to then make a payment because they were going to report it on a credit card. And who knows how much that helped me or not, but it's there. So credit freedom. Talk to me about what credit freedom is and how you achieve credit freedom.
Oh man, credit freedom is super important, because if I lose everything today, right? If I fix my credit, I'll have access to capital again to start all over. That's why I'm so passionate about credit freedom. The other part about credit freedom is not being in a lot of unuseful debt, right? So there's good debt and there's bad debt. So business credit, or giving money to businesses, started before consumer credit. A lot of people didn't know that, right? So I have a Best Buy credit card on the business side and one on the personal side. The Best Buy on the personal side, I can go get a flat screen TV on Black Friday, right? Pay 0% for 6 months. But that purchase doesn't make me any money, right? That's why I got a business credit card from Best Buy. When I get a new employee, I'm giving them a laptop, a tablet, and a phone. And that investment, right? Because that debt is really an investment for me. That investment gives that information to a salesperson. And that person is going to make me money now, right? So the $2,000-$3,000 in equipment I got and I'm in debt, that person's definitely going to make that money back for me within 30 days. And now I'm making money on top of money from that $3,000 debt or investment. So we have to free ourselves from consumer debt and use it as a powerful tool, because that's what credit is.
I love that. Shifting gears a little bit, onto you, okay? A lot of the podcasts, we focus on the emotional side of the entrepreneur's journey, right? You have the highs and the lows outwardly, but inwardly, man, at least for me personally, it's crushing sometimes. But before we get there, let's talk about joy and fulfillment. Like you went kind of that corporate route, you know, the higher education. You worked as a therapist, you said, and then now you're educating and also a mentor to people. But yeah, talk to me about the joy and fulfillment that you've received, the pros and cons from these different things you've done in your life.
So absolutely. So when I pivoted to, and I fired my boss and I went full time into my business, I went from working 40 hours a week to 100, right? So because you're a baby and you're the social media manager and you're the customer service representative, because at that time I was an entrepreneur. I wasn't a business owner yet. I didn't hire a CEO yet. I didn't hire virtual assistants. I didn't hire a sales team. But as I grew and I realized that I gave myself a second job and then a more full-time job, I realized that the capital that I was getting, I needed to hire more people. And that's how I helped my business grow. So now the freedom of owning my own business, getting my time back, being able to provide for my children, my family, my mother lived with me, my father lived with me before he went on. Like, that was very fulfilling to me. But as you just said, There are stressors on that because you are responsible for a lot of people. So I remember when I first hired my CEO of my company, I took away from Amazon, and she's like, let me buy my house first. And I happened to go see her house. And when I walked into her house, I was like, wow, her mortgage is my mortgage. Right. So, and she has children in private school. Mm-hmm. Their tuition is my tuition. So I pivoted in regards to how I really run the business, running it responsibly, because there's some people that I'm responsible for. So the good and bad of it is the freedom that I get, the time freedom that I get. I'm not capped at how much money I can make, but also the stressors of being responsible for so much and being able to pivot a ship that has to navigate through all economic turns.
Larger amounts of stress, but at the end of the day, everybody's dealing with stress. So it's like, I've seen those posts on Instagram. I was like, it's hard losing, it's hard going to the gym, but it's also hard walking the stairs and breathing hard because you're overweight, right? Like, kind of pick your hard for sure.
Yeah.
So walk us through one, something that comes to mind, one of the most stressful times of your life, whether it's a business or personal. But what I want to get to is like practical advice that you'd give to someone else in a similar situation.
Not to belabor it. So my father passed away on a Tuesday. I had a conference on a Friday. 600 people bought tickets, right?
Oh, that you were hosting a conference?
Yeah, oh, God. My conference. And he died on a Tuesday. So, and that was my daughter's first day of school, right? So he literally passed away like 5 o'clock in the morning. And it was my daughter's first day of school.
So 7:30. Sorry to hear that. Wow.
Yeah, it's okay. I appreciate it. It's the circle, right? It's better that I bury him instead of him burying me, right? So that's the circle of life. But in that moment, right, I had to figure out how to be present for other people, right? And that had its own stressors. So I had to be present for my daughter. I had to take her to school that day, put a smile on her face, even though she knew what was going on, but gave her a pep talk because she was excited about kindergarten. Yeah. And then I had 72 hours to mentally prepare myself, me and my CEO, because she knew my father well, on how to service 600 people that came from all over the country to get financial literacy education for me. So the practical advice I want to give is that if you're going to get into this entrepreneur space, right, being able to take care of your mental health, being able to understand how to take time off for yourself, because this is very stressful. And I didn't know how to do that. And I learned it during that moment. Number three, the most important thing that I learned during that moment is, people ask me, how do I grow my business? And I was like, hire quickly, right? Because I remember it in that moment, I had to still move forward and take care of a lot of things for a big conference that was happening. And I realized I didn't hire enough people because I couldn't take a time off, right? I couldn't just show up to the conference. There's some things and some meetings I still had to do that week. So ensuring that the first initial capital that you're getting for your business, invest it right back into your business. Hire the right people, whether it's vendors on the outside or people that you're doing on the inside. It'll help you long-term grow and give you a peace of mind.
Couldn't agree more with all of that. Mm-hmm. Where do you trace, you're taking a much different path than your parents did, right? I'm kind of in that same, complete left turn. You have a very positive attitude, super high energy. I can tell you love what you're doing. Where did that come from? How did you cultivate that? And how does somebody else cultivate that if they're maybe not there yet?
Ooh, one of my mentors taught me something, Myron Goldman. He taught me be transformational before you're transactional, right? So it's part of my marketing plan when I'm on Instagram, YouTube, I'm teaching, right? And I do it for free. Right. Here's the top five banks that you can get $100,000 together. Here's how you move a collection from your credit report. Let's go through it step by step. Right. I'm working and operating in something that I love to do. Right. And getting the results from people is exciting to me. Right. So I'm being transformational to them. Once I'm transformational to them, guess what's going to happen, Bennett? They're going to pay me. Hey, I got my mentorship. It's $50 a month. Oh, wow. If he gave me this for free, then imagine if I pay him, because I was transformational to them first. And I use that type of model in every type of business that I'm doing.
Value first and the money will follow. And that's been something I've been trying to learn. And it's so scary though. You're like, no, I need to overserve and this and that and be a slave to everyone. And you're like, no, just keep putting the value out there. And eventually it comes back. Anyways, another question that I have for you we start talking a little bit about skill sets. Do you have a number one skill set or two skill sets, whatever? If someone is looking at going into business ownership, what are the top one or two skill sets that they should hone in on?
Interchangeably, time management and sales, right? Because an entrepreneur, you are a salesperson, you're selling something, right? You're selling information, you're selling a hard product, or you're selling a service. If you don't know how to sell, hire a sales team, hire somebody that's good at it and give them the percentage to do it. You have to, and then output, these are separate things, but being able to have a marketing, a great marketing, because my marketing is giving away free information, right? So being able to market the product and being able to sell it. Number two is the time management component of it. Like I wake up at 5 o'clock in the morning, I work out, I meditate and I pray. Then I check my emails. Then it's all time management and being able to also set a time aside for your mental health. I have two beautiful young daughters. They need my time now more than ever, right? I have an amazing wife of 12 years. She needs time too. So being intentional about those things, there's no true balance. Anybody who's telling you there's balance is lying to you. But being intentional with the time that I do have is key to an entrepreneur going into this space.
Love it. I'm a very big proponent on the sales as well. And I like the way that you said it. As soon as you turn, take away the word sales and say, number one skill you need is communication. Everybody's on board. And then you say sales, you're like, but you said you're an entrepreneur, you are a salesman. And then you said, go hire a salesman. And yeah, you could go hire a salesman, but that doesn't mean if you're an entrepreneur, how are you going to hire a salesman if you don't sell them on the vision of being your salesperson, right? Like, I do think that that's a big mindset shift that people need to have if they don't have that already. Like, sales isn't bad. Every human interaction is me trying to persuade you that my ideas are valid, right? And you're doing the same thing, but there's not an interaction that it isn't a sell. And then when you kind of captivate that, then you're like, okay, cool. I'm the salesperson. I need to learn how to grow this energy by giving value. And I think there's a lot to that. Like, the more I talk to people, the more I get energized. You know, I'm like, not feeling great, get on a business call. And then after, I'm like, hell yeah, let's go. So I think it all kind of leads into each other. So I appreciate that. Any last thoughts or advice that you'd give to any of our listeners?
Absolutely. I want to go back to what we were talking about a little bit earlier about auditing your circle. So depending on where you want to be in life, you have to speak to the people who have been successful at it, or at minimum have tried and failed. They have the best advice for it. So I tell people all the time that my father, my parents, I love them to death, but they prepared me for a world that no longer exists. Go to college, get an education, you'll be fine. That's not the world that we live in. Somebody can get on TikTok and Instagram and literally sell a rock and sell a million of them. Understanding marketing, understanding skills, understanding tech, understanding AI. So I had to literally fire my father from my financial circle, my mother from my financial circle, and invest my time, whether it's from YouTube University or invest my money in actually taking courses or hiring mentors to help me in my life. So auditing your circle is super important. And sometimes when I say audit your circle, people think I'm just talking about their friends or their colleagues. No, I'm talking about your inner circle, because those people have the most impact in your life. So I don't take any advice from anybody that's not going where I want to go, who I wouldn't exchange with. Bank accounts with. I'm seeking those people as mentors to get where I need to go.
I'm a little bit of a smart ass, but I pulled that on my mom the other day, maybe a month ago. She's like telling me how to run rental properties. And I'm like, so if I run them how you run them, am I going to end up with
well, you
financial outcomes? Yeah, she's like, shut up. You know what I mean? But she's never had a rental program. And there's nothing wrong. She's my mom. She's trying to help me. She's always giving me advice. But she is always giving me advice on financial things and rental properties and business. And it's like, okay, but if I follow your advice, am I going to be where you're at? And then going, I'm like, well, if I don't want to be there, I'm not going to follow that advice. And it's not because they're not giving good advice, but it's only as good as, you know, that experience, which is what you mentioned, finding somebody that's been there, done that, or at least just tried and failed so you can learn from those mistakes. So I love that. Where can our listeners learn more about you, your coaching, mentorship, building credits, applying for business loans, and all of the above?
Absolutely. We do all of the above. One-stop shop. You can find me on my Instagram, my TikTok, my Twitter. I think it's called X now, where it's Haitian underscore CEO. That's HAITIAN_CEO. You can check me out on my YouTube where I have the long form educational content for free, how to fix your credit, how to get funding, how to structure your business. And you can find that at Bella Sloan Enterprises on my YouTube channel, or you can just email us info@bellasloanenterprises.com.
Herman, appreciate your time. Thank you so much.
And thank you for having me. Have a great day.